I will begin with a quote from Oriah. She says, "I want to know if you can see beauty even when it's not pretty, every day, and if you can source your own life from its presence." When I Google beauty, I find it together with peace on many websites. Some of these tell about a day when women of the world are encouraged to wear no makeup. Okay, this is good as far as it goes. Don't feel the need to gild the lily. See the beauty beneath the surface. A fine start. But this is only a surface look at beauty, an invitation to look further, not the actual journey. But let us accept the invitation and take the journey. And since I'm deciding where we go, I want to go as far as possible. In fact, I want to talk about the world, about the connection between our individual problems and how we solve them or don't solve them, and world problems. How do we deal with the world problems, large, often appearing out of control, if we can't live in peace and love with our caring friends and partners, our neighbors, and those we meet eye to eye? An example of this comparison between the small and the large is in the film In a Better World, a Danish film in which revenge is explained and explored. A doctor is working in an African country. A group of men terrorizing the area bet on whether women are pregnant with a boy or a girl. In order to see which of them has won the bet, the women are cut open and the fetuses removed. Part of the doctor's job is to save the lives of these women. The leader of this evil group arrives at the medical center for help. Soon the doctor is in a position to decide whether that man will live or die. What did the doctor do? After having operated on the evil leader, he put him out of his clinic without the protection of his followers, knowing that the husbands of these life or death women, these women the doctor tried to save and often did, their husbands would tear him limb from limb, would erase him from humanity, from the face of the earth, gone. Why would he do that? Was there a rational reason, such as an evaluation of this evil man's life against the lives of the women, the already dead women, or the endangered ones? Would a new man impose his leadership anyway, and it would all start again? The death of the leader then of little consequence. Of course, we weren't told. But meanwhile, back in Denmark, the doctor's son is involved in an act of revenge in which innocent people are put in danger. There is suspense. We wonder if there will be loss of life. There isn't. The doctor's son runs out of a protected place to warn a mother and daughter of their danger just in time, and all are safe. But the film develops a strong parallel between the two situations, and though the doctor's decision is indelibly in our minds, the scenario in Denmark ends well, and we are not left without hope. But this is a film, after all, and films, being plotted, come with an almost 100% guarantee that they will end well. How does this work in real life? How is it possible not only to escape from this spiraling down, but to rise up, defeat evil, In fact, might the experience of evil allow an ability to rise, an understanding that comprehends and then reacts to balance the evil, even maybe tipping the balance the other way? So let's look at the experience of a man I know, Kim Lee, a Cambodian who arrived in Canada when he was 2.5 years old through the killing fields of Cambodia. And if you've seen that film, apparently it was really like that, the killing fields of Cambodia and the brutality of Thailand. His truth was his situation, desperate, the family having lost everything, everything. A tough truth. Grandparents, aunts, and uncles, his family were traveling together. If they shared fairly the food that they had, it would not be enough for all of them to survive. Some had to starve in order that others could live, could somehow reach the light at the end of their tunnel. It's a story Kim lived and his mother told him about. For him, the moment things changed 180 degrees was when he arrived in Montreal. Soon after he got off the plane, someone presented him with a whole array of secondhand toys. And he was told that he could pick any he wanted. The memory of this still moves him. He is now beginning, now that he has established himself, to give back. Those secondhand toys, that gift, so small, but so at the right time. A turning point in a life. The beauty of caring, the antidote to evil. Sometimes doing the right thing, the caring thing, is not as easy as presenting a child with toys. What to do if the upset is your own? It is not an outside situation you can look at objectively and correct, but it's an inner one. On March 15th, here at Beacon, I told the story of Gandhi's 12-year-old grandson, Arun. Arun was angry at having to use a pencil stub. This was something he was doing because he was not supposed to waste the pencil. It was very difficult for him. Then, right after that, while playing soccer, a player spoiled his aim. Arun was angry. His anger made him very disappointed in himself. He felt he was expected to live up to his grandfather's reputation for nonviolence. In desperation, he went to his grandfather. He felt he had shamed him, and he wanted to confess. And of course, Gandhi understood. He told Arun that everyone gets angry, even Grandfather Gandhi. The lesson was to think of anger as lightning, something that is strong and produces hurt, something, in fact, warlike. But, said Gandhi, it also produces light. And that light can illuminate a wrong, perhaps a wrong feeling, a misunderstanding, or an injustice. It can be used to show that something needs to be changed. How does he explain this? Well, this is what Gandhi said. He said, "I would agree with those who say that God is love. But though God may be love, God is truth above all. If it is possible for the human tongue to give the fullest description of God," he said, "I have come to the conclusion that, for myself, God is truth." Then he said, "I go a step further and say that truth is God. You will see the distinction between the two statements. God is truth, and truth is God. He added, I then found that the nearest approach to truth was through love. Might we connect these words, beauty, love, truth, BLT? Easy to remember, not just bacon, lettuce, tomato, but beauty, love, truth. Let's look at truth from Arun's point of view, the pencil stub. Did he really understand why he was supposed to use it, or had he simply been instructed? Had he absorbed the real truth of the matter? Did he know that not wasting was a sort of meditation as well as a way to save, a way not to take the easy way? He had walked to his grandfather's village instead of riding in the car. Maybe it was like that. Or maybe he thought back on this when he was older and understood. He may have done that. Let's look at his life for a moment. He grew up under the discriminatory apartheid laws of South Africa. He was beaten by white South Africans for not being black enough, and black South Africans for being too white. At first, Arun did seek an eye for an eye. But his grandfather taught Arun to understand nonviolence through understanding violence. If we know how much passive violence we perpetrate against one another, we will understand why there is so much physical violence plaguing societies in the world, Gandhi said. Arun shares this lesson all around the world now. You can Google his name, Arun Gandhi. He's really been busy, and he still is. We could say that every relationship we have ever had is a laboratory for beauty, love, truth, BLT. The simplicity of that. Is this the solution for our personal lives? For the world? Is it that simple? I did not say easy. Simple is not the same as easy. Albert Einstein, though, had words about this. Possessions, outward success, publicity, luxury, these to me have always been contemptible. I believe that a simple and unassuming manner in life is best for everyone, best both for body and mind. Well, how straightforward that is. Let us allow ourselves to fall into that simplicity, to allow everything else to be peripheral. Against the backdrop of these thoughts, it is becoming increasingly clear that many of our social structures no longer serve the simplicity of beauty, love, truth. The long-held social memes of wealth and scarcity, of win-lose, no longer match our understanding of how life works. And now, as an antidote to that, I guess, it is now an always and ever connected global sharing of videos and tweets and posts in response to violence, tyranny, catastrophe, and corruption. It is true that everywhere we are sharing our visions, our creativity, and our healing. Our collective wisdom and spontaneous illumination echo around the world at light speed, provoking revolutions and evolutions. And each of us remembers who we are. As we do that, our truth, our beauty, we reach out to create a new kind of world, one based on harmonious relationship with nature and each other. Is a trust in this BLT, this beauty, love, truth, strong enough for us to let other things go? To let go of the addiction to material things, emotional safety and mental certainty, to let go of these things takes faith. But this is what faith is all about, isn't it? Faith in what we believe. Faith in those many beauty, love, truth pebbles that are dropped in the waters of the world millions of times a day and spread their ripples of peace. May we drop our own beauty, love, truth pebbles, so that the ripples build into waves and our world vibrates in harmony. May we walk in beauty together.